Yesterday I had the privilege to visit the yeshiva in Beit El, and as I was leaving they gave me the Chaveres Kedusha Torah that they put out recently. And on the plane coming back I was reading one essay about the Aseres HaDibros, so I decided to talk about that aspect of this Parshas HaShavua. Singling out of the Aseres HaDibros from the rest of the Taryag Mitzvah, singling out of the Aseres HaDibros from the rest of the Taryag Mitzvos is a question. Why were these mitzvahs, manishtana these mitzvahs, not all the other mitzvahs? Are these considered the most important mitzvahs? I can understand avodah zarah and emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can understand. But it's a little questionable whether kibud av v'em is a big mitzvah, but Shabbos is also a big mitzvah. But it's a question whether kibud av v'em and whether lo sachmoid. Sachman is also Lysinov. There are nice religious people who violate Lysinov. It's talking not right, but this is from the Ikarehu Amunah. Why did the Rebbe Shalom single out these 10 mitzvahs? So this is a famous machlekes between Rashi in his commentary on Chumash in the name of Rabbeinu Sadia Goen and the Ramban. Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Sadia Goen that these 10 are the 10 headings under which one can subsume all of the other Taryag Mitzvahs. And in fact, on Shavuos, there was an old minig that in many communities, by the Goyinim and by the Balei HaTosfos, they used to recite piyutim in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. They used to call it Azhoras. They used to recite piyutim in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah when they were reading the Aseres HaDibros, that they would, after Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they would recite a long piyut that had all of the mitzvahs that that fall under the category, that could be subsumed under the category of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then they would say a long piyut after Liyolach Elimachem Alponai, and so on and so forth. This is in accordance with this position of the Rav Sadia Goen, the Rashi quotes, that the Aseres HaDibros had the 10 basic headings. In some Hasidic Svarim, they go a step further based on this Rashi, and they say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, so the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Basar Mamaris Nivra Ha'olam, and in other words, there are 10 basic proclamations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that brought about everything in the cosmos, all the rules and regulations of physics and chemistry and biology, and everything, and there are 10 basic principles, the Aseres HaDibros, that all of the Taryag Mitzvahs could be subsumed under, and we shouldn't think that there's any contradiction between this list of 10 and that list of 10. Adarabah, they blend in very well. We look into the world, we see a lot of times very fine religious, honest people who fulfill all of the mitzvahs HaTorah, and they don't succeed in life. You find Tzadik V'Ralo, a lot of times you find Rosh HaVetovlo. So it looks as if there's a contradiction, as if there's a conflict between the Asura Mamora Shebehem Nivra Ha'olam and the Aseres HaDibros, as if it wasn't really given by the same Borei Olam, and that's a major problem. That's the problem of evil in this world. You have Tzadik V'Ralo, Rosh HaVetovlo, so it looks as if it's not the same Borei Olam who created the world, who gave all of the religious and the ethical and the all the mitzvahs HaTorah, b'nonim lamakom, b'nonim lachaver, and so on. But we assume there is a pasuk in Tehillim that Ali Asar in Mizmashil Yom Hashabbos, Mizmashil Asid Lovel Yom Shkol Hashabbos Miruchu L'Chayv Olamim, that we are going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alei Asor, Alei Novel, Alei Higoyim, V'chinor. We're going to praise God and play on musical instruments. So we're going to play on Osor and Novel and Kinor. So Osor, Rashi writes in his Pirush Antilim, is a harp that has 10 strings. What is the significance of having 10 strings? It means that we will be able to understand that the Asura Mamor Shebehem Nivra Ha'olam and Aseres HaDibros blend in together. They harmonize together. That there is no contradiction between the two. So again, this is along the assumption, this is all on the assumption, like Rashi quotes in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon, that the Aseres HaDibros are really the 10 basic headings under which all the Taryag Mitzvahs could be subsumed. Ramban, as Kamtei Achumish, does not go for this. He says that he quotes the passage in the Gemara Yevamos in Perek HaChelitz, where the Gemara says that when a non-Jew comes to convert, the Bezin has to see to it that he has the Kabbalah on Mitzvahs. So that'll take forever. Kabbalah on Mitzvahs will take hours and days and days and days. You have to go through 613 Mitzvahs. You have to ask if you plan to do Shiloh HaKan, you plan to do Kisi Adam, you plan to do this, you plan to do that. That'll take forever. So the Gemara says you don't have to go through each and every mitzvah. The Gemara says, "Modin osa mitzvahs mitzvahs kalos or mitzvahs mitzvahs chamuras." You just mentioned to the ger a sampling of the more difficult mitzvahs and a sampling of the easier mitzvahs. And if he says he promises to keep whatever comes his way, whatever they'll tell him, he doesn't even have to know what all the 613 mitzvahs are. Makes more sense to have him prepare in advance. Makes more sense to have a special program for non-Jews who want to convert. So let them sit and learn for a couple of years to make sure that they know what they're getting themselves into. They may convert and they may have charata later on. If they would have known there's such a difficult mitzvah, or such a mitzvah that they don't go for that, so maybe they wouldn't have converted. So it makes more sense to have special classes for them. But the Gemara says, if Madinos a mitzvahs, mitzvahs kalas, a mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamur, is that sufficient? That's considered Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So the Ramban in his commentary, Achumish, writes that that's what the Aseres HaDibros was all about. It was just a sampling of some of the more difficult mitzvahs to keep and some of the easier mitzvahs to keep. And this was the Maimon HaSinai, the Aseres HaDibros was the proclamation of the Aseres HaDibros was the Kabbalah on mitzvahs upon which the Geiris of Klal Yisrael was based later on. See, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim in the Mechilta that the Ramban writes, and a Shaila Rashi in the Ramban, which opinion among the Tanoim should we accept? How are we going to decide which one to accept? It's a historical Machlekes. It's not a Machlekes in Halacha that is what the Paskin about. The question is, in the end of Parshas Kisisa, in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says that on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, Bnei Yisrael brought special korbanos. So the Gemara in Krisis on Daf Tes derives from that parsha that a ger, that l'doyros, whenever a non-Jew converts to become Israel, we require milah tefilah korban, because on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, Bnei Yisrael became ger. So just like Bnei Yisrael required Mila and Tfilah Karban, so to the Doris we require Mila and Tfilah and Karban. So the question is, when was the Karban brought? Was the Karban is described later, after Parshas Yisroel. So was the Karban brought, everything is brought in order? The Karbanos that I mentioned later were brought after Maimon HaSinai. So that means that Maimon HaSinai took place with the non-Jews. Maimon HaSinai, the Jewish people didn't yet become Jews. So the Maimon HaSinai was the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs of the candidates for conversion. And then they became Jewish afterwards, so that's interesting. The non-Jews had a Kabbalah Sal Torah and HaSinai. It was for non-Jews. And other Tanoim and other Rishonim adopted a different position. They think now that the Karbonos were brought before Maimon HaSinai. And they already had, the Milo was in Mitzrayim, the Gemara says, and the Tefillah was right before Maimon HaSinai. And then they brought the carbon, and after the meal and tefillah and carbon, so then there was a Maimon HaSinai, and the Maimon HaSinai was on behalf of the Jewish people who already had become Jewish. So it's not that the Aseres Hadibros was the Kabbalos on Mitzvahs to enable them to become Jewish. No, they already became Jewish. They already brought the Karbonos before, and then later was the Man in Hasina. So the Ramban quotes this Machlekes HaTanoim, and he has a dispute with Rashi, which makes more sense, which of the two opinions of the Tanoim makes more sense to accept. It's a whole different way of viewing Ma'amid HaSinai. The Gemara points out that the Aseres Hadibros appears, the text of the Aseres Hadibros appears twice. It appears in Yisro, it appears in Boaz Kanan, and there are several discrepancies, and some of them are major discrepancies. One of them, the Ramban's commentary on today's Seder points out the main discrepancy is Zochos Yom HaShabbos HaKatsher or Shomer. Why is that such a major discrepancy? Shomer Zocher. What's the big difference? The Ramban says Shenem Olah different. Zocher is an essay and Shomer is a lois essay. The Gemara says that in order to get Malkus, you have to violate a law that's similar to Losach Mishor B'dishoy. It has to be similar both in the nature of the law. If it's a law of Shem Maisa, you don't get Malkus. A law of Nita Glesa, you don't get Malkus. A law of Nita Natashluma, you don't get Malkus, and so on. And then it has to be similar to Losach Mishor B'dishoy in the way it appears in the text of the Chumash, the way it's written in the Chumash. So the Gemara says it has to say lo, like lo saksam shabadisha, has to say lo. Or if it says hishomer, pen or al, that's also sufficiently similar to lo saksam shabadisha, to lo, that it should be loike. But if it doesn't say hishomer, pen or al, and it doesn't say lo, then there's not going to be any malchus. So if it says in the Aseres Hadibros, shomer, it's yom shabbos lekatsher, so the Ramban says that implies a loisesi. But if it says zohar, so zohar is an essay. So it's not just the two versions of the same thing. It's a totally different version. That's why the Ramban says, that's why the Chazal pointed out that Zohar B'Shomer is a problem. There are several problems. There are several discrepancies over here between the text that appears in Yisro and the text that appears in Boaz Kanan. But the Chazal mentioned the Zohar B'Shomer because this is the most glaring discrepancy, because Shomer means a lois essay and Zohar means an essay. So what's talking with these discrepancies? So usually when people learn Chumash, they have the mistaken notion that this was the text in the Luchos Rishonos, and in Boaz Kanan that was the text in the Luchos Shnius. This is a problematic assumption, because the Pasuk says in Kisisa that after Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchos Rishonos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, "P'sol Luchos Shnei Luchos Avanim Karishonim Luchos Tafil Al HaLuchos HaDvarim Asher Hayu Al HaLuchos HaRishonim Asher Shibarto." So the Baruch Shalom says, I'm going to engrave the exact same thing. He's going to engrave what was there the first time around. So it sounds like everything was exactly the same. So the Chazal in the Gemara assumed that, the Gemara seems to assume that it wasn't, that it's a split between the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnius. So the Gemara assumes that at the time of Maimon HaSinai on Shavuos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed, when he declared the Aseres Hadibros, he said both texts simultaneously. Was there any halachic significance to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the both texts simultaneously? So the Gemara says that this is considered a hekesh. A hekesh means if you have two dinim that are written in the same pasuk, so we assume that there must be a connection between the one din and the other. If you have two dinim written in two pasuk that are adjacent to each other, that's smuchim. And that's a machlokes HaTanoim in the sugi in the first parak of Yevamos on Daf Hei, where the darshan smuchim in the first four chumashim, chumash dvarim, the Gemara gives reasons why everybody agrees that the darshan smuchim, and chumash bereishis through Bamidbar, that's a machlokes. But a hekesh means that you have two dinim in the same pasuk that everybody holds from. So the Gemara holds like this: that if you have one pasuk that has one din in the first half, another din in the second half of the pasuk, that's considered a hekesh, and we assume that there's a relationship, there's a connection. Certainly more so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed that both psukim evas achas, if he says b'nishima achas, zocha v'shamba b'dibur echa nemru, if he says both b'vas achas, it's not even the first half of the pasuk, the second half of the pasuk. They're both in the first half of the pasuk. Zocha v'shamba are both in the first half of the pasuk. Zocha v'shamba shabbos l'katshoi, sheshi tam tavid, etc. So they were both mamish b'nishima achas. So that's certainly a hekesh. So the Gemara derives the halacha that women are obligated to recite Kiddush to the same extent as men, despite the fact that Zohar should be considered, the mitzvah of Zohar means to recite Kiddush, lahazkir. Zohar doesn't mean to remember, It rather means lahaskir, to mention the day of Shabbos. And this is the source of the mitzvah of Kiddush. A question in the Rishonim, Machlokes HaRishonim, whether Zohar also includes Havdalah, or Havdalah is only the Rabbanim. The Magid Mishnah quotes Rishonim to say that Havdalah is only the Rabbanim. The Rambam Pasuk says Havdalah is the Raisa. Then there's a further Machlokes. Even if one should assume that Havdalah is the Raisa, does it necessarily mean that it's learned after this Pasuk Zohar? Maybe it's learned after a different Pasuk, Lahavdalah ben HaKadosh HaMein HaKho. Maybe it's based on a different source. The Rambam says no. That drasha, Lahavdalah ben HaKadosh HaMein HaKho, is Megala that Havdalah is included in this Pasuk of Zohar. Everything is based on Zohar. So the Gemara says that Zohar should really be considered a mitzvah sesa, shazman gram, and women should be exempt. But because Shomer is a lois esa, even though it's a lois esa, shazman gram, women are mechuyev. In the area of lois esa, we say, hishvakosav ish lishul chol onshin shabbatar. Onshin means lavin. Despite the fact that it's a zman gram, women are still obligated. So even though Zohar should have been a zman gram, because they were hekish, because they were both proclaimed of asachas, so that's why we assume that the women are just as obligated as the men in the Kiddush. Do we assume the same regarding the Havdalah? Are the women just as obligated as the men in Havdalah? So that's what the Magen Mishnah and the Beis Yosef have a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. If one should assume that, like the Rambam, that Kiddush and Havdalah both their rights are based on the Pasuk Zohar, so the Hekish between Zohar and Shama goes on Havdalah just as well as Kiddush. But if one should assume that Havdalah is the Raisa based on a different Pasuk, Lahavdalah ben HaKadosh HaMein HaKho, one should perhaps assume that Havdalah is Legamri Mid Rabbanim, so there's no Hekish at all. There's no Pasuk at all, there's no Hekish, so then there's room to say that maybe women are not Mechayiv in Havdalah. So that's why there's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, whether women are Taka obligated in the Havdalah or not. So the Gemara seems to assume that the two versions of the Aseres HaDibros do not represent the two texts that appeared on the two different sets. The Luchas Rishonis had the first Nusach, the Luchas Shnis had the second Nusach. No, they both had the exact same Nusach written. They were both proclaimed of Asachas. So which was the text that appeared on the Aseres HaDibros? So which text did it? Which text? The text in Parshas Yisroel or the text in Parshas Voaschana? So that's taka not clear. Which is the text that appeared on the actual Luchas? Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky in the Sefer that had a Chumash gives a suggestion. Says someone brought to his attention that in a not that compelling a proof. Says someone brought to his attention that in the Nusach HaTfilah he says Yismach Moshe Matan Schelko. Go to us, Rosh. Then Luchas Rodem Harav Yodoy B'chol Sebohem Shmira Shabbos. Oh, so it doesn't say B'chol Sebohem Zichira Shabbos. It says B'chol Sebohem Shmira Shabbos. No. Not that compelling. Chazban Shmir Shabbos, because it says later. It says Zohar Shem Shabbos L'Kadosh. Shesh Shem Tav Yosei Sukam L'Achtecha. Yom Shmir Shabbos L'Kadosh Shem L'Kecha. That's Shmir Shabbos. It means the word Shmir Shabbos. Not that compelling. Possibility. The Gemara in Shabbos Perek Rav Akiva presents what appears to be a problem in the description of the preparation for Maamad HaSinai. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu he's interested in presenting the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, and he should find out what their reaction is. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayana kol ha'am vayachto vayom kol shediv Hashem naaseh vayoshem Moshe zdivri ha'am el Hashem. Bnei Yisrael agree, they accept the offer, and they want to go through with it. And Moshe Rabbeinu returns the message to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That sounds like the Ribbono Shel Olam is only interested in presenting the Torah to a nation who are interested in accepting a midaitam. And then as you proceed in the preparations for Maamad HaSinai, so it says, Vayisyatzru b'tachtis ha'har. The Bnei Yisrael were located b'tachtis ha'har. So the Pasuk Pshat is at the foot of the mountain. And the Gemara understands differently. Tachtis ha'har means tachas ha'har. That's how Rashi writes. Lefi pshuto, tachtis ha'har means beragli ha'har, at the foot of the mountain. Well, Midrasha, the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that it doesn't mean. At the foot of the mountain means literally under the mountain. Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Torah onto Bnei Yisrael. So all the Rishonim find it difficult. Why did he force the Torah on Bnei Yisrael? He asked Moshe Rabbeinu to see if Bnei Yisrael are interested. And he said, yes, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Na'aseh, we are interested. So why did he go ahead later and force the Torah on the Bnei Yisrael? This is the problem that all the Rishonim work on. So some quote the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Noyach, that says that when Bnei Yisrael said that they're prepared to accept the Torah, they were prepared to accept Torah Shebichzav, but they weren't prepared to accept Torah Shebalteh. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be kof aleim harki gigas to force them into accepting the Torah Shebalteh. Why Hechateisa? Because you have a kasha. You have a kasha between two sources. Here it says it was Midat, here it says Bal Korcham. You have to say that Tzvei Dinim, one is Torah Shebichzav, one is Torah Shebalteh. Just arbitrarily say like that. Why should you say like that? Unless some want to suggest that what the Medrash Tanchuma means is the following. It does mean, why should they be prepared to accept Torah Shebichzav, not be prepared to accept Torah Shebalpeh? What's the difference? Let's say, what's an example of Torah Shebalpeh? The tefillin have to be square. Halacha Moshe Misina, the tefillin have to be black. All halachas Moshe Misina. So why is it so difficult to accept that? If you're prepared to accept all the other din, why is it harder to accept that? Some suggest maybe what it means is that the major part, the major part of the Torah Shebalpeh is what the Rambam refers to as Divrei Sofrim, where there was an awful lot of rabbinic input and darshaning the Torah Shebalpeh. You have the Yiddish alternative Reshes Ben, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Kol HaTorah Kulo. What does that mean? He gave him the text. He told him all the Tariyag Mitzvahs and he gave him the text of the Chumash. And then he told them every single din. That's what the Midrashim, there are quite a few sources in the Midrashim that say, Kol ma she'talmid vasik, osir l'chadish nemar lo l'mershim v'sinai. Any good psak, any good halacha that the Talmud Chacham will develop in the future was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Hasina. That's taka true, all the Igris Moshe, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Hasina, every single psak. So some assume like that. Rambam quotes the Goyim who assumed like that, but he says he doesn't think that that's true at all. He says the text of the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he was given the Midrash HaTorah Reshes Ben. He was given the methodology. There's a Klal HaPrat HaKlal, and there's a Dovish Oy B'Chlal, the Yotzman HaKlal, and all the Midas that the Gemara has. If it's Mole instead of Chas instead of Mole, all the various Midas, all the ways he darshan things from the Pesukim. So when we say that Kol Mashat Talmud Vasik Gosel L'Chanish Nemel L'Moshe Misina, it just means it's included in what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't necessarily mean that every single din was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. How can it be? The Rambam says that's scandalous. So it comes that every machlokes in the Tanoim and Amoraim, every machlokes is simply due to Shikchas HaTorah, that everything was given, every single din was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we forgot everything. And over the generations, they're just trying to all the machlokes and simply. They're trying to reconstruct what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an embarrassment to say such a thing, and it doesn't make any sense either. So the Rambam says that that's ridiculous. The Midrash HaTorah Reshes Ben, you see that the Chachamim are developing the dinim on their own, and the dinim that they develop become dinim d'oraisa. In Germany, there was Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch established a yeshiva in Frankfurt. And one of the students that he was not too proud of was Professor Gratz, who wrote a book on what he considered Jewish history, and he attacks all the Tanoim. So one of his apikursish suggestions is that the Tanoim invented the whole Torah Shebalpeh. Sure. The whole thing was an invention. They invented Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes Ben, they invented the Torah Shebalpeh. So as a reaction to what Gratz wrote, so Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has long essays attacking him. So in the essays, when he attacks him, he goes to the opposite extreme. So he adopts the position of the guy. What do you mean they invented it? Everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu from A to Z. Everything. So just because he has to react to Apikursus, he has to go to the opposite extreme. The Pashtus is that part of what Gratz said is right. I never read Gratz, but I read what Rabbi Hirsch quotes. So part of the things that he's ripping apart are what the Rambam writes. That's the way it's normally assumed. That there is a concept of Divrei Sofrim, the expression that appears in the Talmud, and the Rambam uses it very often. Divrei Sofrim means dinim where there was rabbinic input, where the Sofrim, the Chachamim, had input. All the dinim, the Rabbanon, are for sure Divrei Sofrim. And many, many, many dinim deraisa are divrei sofrim, where the Chachamim were using the Midrash HaTorah Reshes Ben, to develop halachas. And in fact, there is even a machloikis achreinim de chido in his commentary on Megillas Rus. That's called Simchas HaRegel. The Chido wrote many, many, many svarim. Forgot what, 74, 84. Unbelievable number of svarim. And each one is a whole sefer, not five pages. Each one is a whole sefer. So the Chido has, well, one of his many svarim is Simchas HaRegel, is a sefer on the Megillas Rus. So on the Megillas Rus, he discusses whether Amoini v'loi Amoini is Mayavi v'loi Mayavis, is this a halachal Moshe Misinai, or is this a drasha? Balbala Soloveitchik also quotes a machlokes harishonim about this. And on the assumption that Amoini v'loi Amoini is a drasha, so then he has a further machlokes achreinim. That's a machlokes harishonim, whether Amoini v'loi Amoini is a halachal Moshe Misinai or a drasha. Then if one should assume that it's a drasha, not a halachal Moshe Misinai, and the Chachamim developed it around the days of David HaMelech, just about then, Boaz developed it at that time. So the question is, when a Chacham is, if you have a Talmud Vasik who's Mechadesh a Din many years after Maimon HaSinai, and it becomes a Din Deraisa, this is Divrei Sofim, it becomes a Din Deraisa. Does it become a Din Deraisa Mila Mafreya from the time of Matan Torah? And you say, no, it becomes a Din Deraisa Mikana Lahabo. If they would have, if the Chachamim invented Din Derabbanan, so Din Derabbanan for sure is only Mikana Lahabo. Can't make a din de rabban ex post facto. But what if the Chachamim read in between the lines with the, using the methodology of the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Hashem, and they come up with a din de raisa, and that's the halacha. Kol ma shetam and vasa gaz chamish nem alo l'moshim sinim means it's kalul, it's included in what was given in Har Sinai. So does that mean it's included? So therefore the din is binding ex post facto, and even someone who married an Amoinis, whatever, and he died already, it's already many generations later, we're going to look back in retrospect, we're going to say that he did wrong, and he say, no, the din is only Mikan Alapo. It's not Lamafrey. That's, there are many who hold like that, that it's only Mikan Alapo. It's a din deraisa, but it's only Noiv Mikan Alapo. That's what the Chazanish sounds like he holds. So yes, the Chazanish. For a comment on the Rashi in the opening Psukim in Koheles, the pasuk says, "Ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh," nothing new under the sun. So what does that mean? "Ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh"? The Rashi quotes the Midrashim that it doesn't mean nothing new under the sun. The sun is a kinoi for the Torah. For the Torah gives illumination. The world is very dark. The Gemara says, very dark here. Why is it very dark? Said Mesillas Yeshurim writes, very dark. You can't tell whether something is a mitzvah, something is an avera. Some people say it's a mitzvah, the other people say, that's terrible, that's an avera. Other people say, this is an avera, the other people say, no, that's a mitzvah. It's very unclear, it's very dark. So you have to have a hoirein enim, you have to have illumination. So the Torah is the Shemesh that gives illumination, so it shouldn't be dark. So the more a person is going to learn, so the more kiner mitzvah v'torah or, when you do mitzvahs, it gives a little illumination. When you learn Torah, it gives even more illumination, like a torch, as opposed to a mitzvah, is only like a candle. The psukim, the gemara is like that. So the Rashi, in the opening pasuk in Kohela, says, en g'chodesh tachas ha-shemesh, outside of the area of Torah, the no chidush. But in Shemesh, Tachas HaShemesh means outside of the area of learning. But in learning, there are Chidush Torah. So what Chidush Torah are there? What are there? We're learning Ksubas. We're learning the exact same text of Ksubas every year. The yeshiva, all the different yeshivas, everybody learns Ksubas, the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosfos. When you study physics, they keep on printing a new textbook every year because they discovered so many more new things. You can't use the old textbook. Last year's textbook is outdated. When you go to medical school, they can't use last year's textbook. They discovered so many new things, they rearrange everything now because some of the new discoveries are so important. Now they got to start with that. And in chemistry, also like that. Every year they keep on discovering new things. In biology, every year we're like that. So what do you mean? They're only chidushim and Torah. Torah is the only thing that you keep on going back to the same old text. They keep on printing more svarim. You always start again from the Mishnah, and from the Gemara, and the Rashi, and the Tesis, and the Sheikh and Kubetz. Everything starts all over again, the same thing. So how can you say that there's only chidushim in Torah and there's no chidushim in other areas? So the Chazanish explained that all of the chidushim that they have in physics and in chemistry and in biology and in all the other fields, They're just discoveries. They're discovering things that were always there. Sheishis made gracious, and then they have inventions based on the discoveries. Yeah, there are airplanes, and there are cell phones, and there are fax machines, and everything. All of these, they could have had these in Sheishis made gracious if the people would have known all of the klolim. All the klolim were there. They didn't have any electric bulb, but they could have. If they would have known the secret of electricity, they would have known all the things. They could have made electric bulbs there. It's not that the Rabbanu Shlomo made something new in recent years that enables us to have the fax machine and the cell phone. Everything was there from the very beginning. Nothing is new. Ain't kochavish tachas hashem. They're no chidushim. They were discoveries. We're discovering what was always there. And remember, there are inventions based on these things that were always there, but it's talking nothing new. But in Torah, they're mamish new things. What do you mean they're new things? The Talmud Chacham is machadish something. Talmud Rasik is machadish something. So it's a glory Muslim affair that was always the pshat. No, it was also the discovery. No, see, hold that it's not a discovery. The Talmud Rasik is machadish something. So it's a chidish mikana lahabo. And it wasn't always so. It's taka a chidish, a change. It's only a chidish mikana lahabo. So this is what some understand in this. We're getting back to this Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma comes to resolve this contradiction that all the Rishonim were working on. It says HaKadosh Baruch originally wanted to get a nation to negotiate with, to give the Torah to. He wants a nation who are interested in accepting the Torah. Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch first went to the other nations of the world. First he went to the other nations and they all rejected. Then Israel said, okay, we'll go through with the Kabbalah Sotar. So then they accepted. So apparently the Jewish people said, nah, so they meant it. They accepted it. So why did he have to kafalem harki gigas vaisat so besachdis ahar? So the Medrash Tanchuma says this is on Torah Shebichsav, this is on Torah Shebalpeh. Why is it so much more difficult to keep Torah Shebalpeh than to keep Torah Shebatal? So some say that that's what it goes on. It doesn't go on Torah Shebalpeh that the tefillin should be merubois and the tefillin should be the mitzvah should be shchayris. What's more difficult about that than about Torah Shebichsav? Perhaps what it goes on is the divrei sofrim part. That I should believe, a balabos should believe that what the rabbi is telling me is a din deraisa. The rabbi is reading in between the lines. And in the previous generation, they said it's not so. And this rabbi comes up with this new din, and that becomes a din deraisa. Wow. That's talk a little hard to believe. And we know that they're changing the psak. So we say the psak, the bais rishon, they did the nisach hayayin one way, the Gemara says. And the bais sheni, they did the nisach hayayin a different way. And it's not that the bais sheni didn't know how they did it. The bais rishon, they knew how they did it. And nonetheless, they said, with the power vested in us as Talmud Vasik, we disagree with Shlomo HaMelech and with David HaMelech, the way they set it up in the Bais Rishon. So this Fasem is Yester Kashi, means for 410 years, the whole Tekuvah is Bais Rishon, they were never Yotze, the mitzvah of Nisach Hayam, because they did it wrong. So he gives a complicated Teretz al Derech HaChassidus, but in the Chidushim on Shas he gives. Usually he doesn't give any Chassidus, but this he got stuck. He didn't have so in Yeshivas they say, Pasha, the answer is, Eilu V'Eilu D'Ivu D'Kim Chayim. What's so difficult? If the Talmid HaChamim in your generation hold that you do Nisach Hayam this way, so that's the din deraisa. Then later, 7 years after the Churban Bais Rishon, they build the Bais Sheni, and they have other chachamim, and they look at the psukim and they darshan differently. So that becomes a din deraisa. So that's talk a little hard to believe. This Torah Shebalpeh story is a little hard to believe. That the Eilu V'Eilu D'Ivu L'Kim Chayim, that the Rabbanu Shlom is giving Sod Hashem L'Yireiv, the Rabbanu Shlom is giving a siyai to the Shmai, divine assistance to the Talmid HaChamim Shebechol Dor V'Dor. That whatever they say goes, and that's what the Rabbanu Shalom, that's the Ratzon Hashem, that's a din deraisa. So that's what some want to say, that's what Bnei Yisrael didn't want to accept that. They were prepared to accept whatever the Rabbanu Shalom is going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Allah al-Moshe Nisinai, Torah Shebalpeh, and Mekabel that too. But this part of Torah Shebalpeh, the divrei sofrim part, that the rabbis can invent dinim deraisa, and they can change dinim deraisa, and one generation they paskin like this, and that's a din deraisa. Next generation, like a yo-yo. Next generation, the next Rabban say, Farkeh, that becomes a din deraisa. Maybe that's the pshat, that they were not so thrilled about accepting that point. So that's what Hashem forced upon them. They talked to Kof Aleim Harkik, and said, that's it, Kindalah. You have to accept everything. Even the Divrei Sofrim are also dinim deraisa. The Rami Prague works on this kasha. All of Rishonim talk about the kasha. Rami Prague talks about this kasha. And then we used to have an yeshiva years ago, Rav Mendel Zaks, he was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. So he once made a comment on this. He said that he remembers the Chafetz Chaim used to say about that Gemara, Kachalayim Hakigim, it's not Shver Gemara. pasuk says on the kavod baruch, which is such very gemara. He used to always make comments like that. I remember Ahmed Ozak used to give the chinas in yeshiva, so he used to give the chinas to the students, and then he would always give a running commentary on a gemara, on a Rashi, on a Tosfos. It's a very gemara, like no one understands what's going on there. So he said on this gemara, the Chafetz Chaim said, we don't understand what does it mean. They said kol shadiv Hashem nase, some sitzrei Torah over here. It's the kaf aleim har kigigas. But the Maharal Prague has a suggestion that became more popular than the other ideas in the Maharal Prague, because the Sheikh Shmaitzer quotes this in his introduction. So the Maharal Prague is quoted as having said that true, the Jewish people accepted the Torah, but one, the Rabbanu Shalom didn't want them to think that their observance of mitzvahs later is because they accepted it, because it's a hischaibis midah. So he said, no, you're accepting Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, and later you're going to keep it. I want you to know you're keeping it because I'm forcing it upon you. He's forcing the Torah upon the Jewish people. He doesn't want to force the Torah on the people who are not interested, but once we express our interest in observing mitzvahs, he doesn't want us to think that the observance of the mitzvahs is because we entered into the obligation. No, he wants us to know that he is commanding us these mitzvahs. It's a tzivo Yashem. It's not a hischaivis midas. Let's say you have a ger hamizgayer, a ger converts. So he's mekabel all mitzvahs today, like Bnei Yisrael in the midbar mekabel. So what do you say later on? The ger is obligated to keep mitzvahs because he accepted it upon himself? No. Kabbalah on mitzvahs is necessary for the Kedushas Yisrael to take effect, in order for him to become a ger. Once he becomes a ger, then the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands of him that he has to keep these mitzvahs. It's not a hischaivis midas. Anyway, this is one of the problems that the Rishonim work on. The contradiction between the two versions as to whether Kabbalah Sator was Balkorach Mishal Yisrael or is Midaitam Mishal Yisrael. Exactly how did the Aseres Adibis appear on the two Luchos? So the different opinions in the Medrash, the Mabit, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Sfas in the 1500s, early 1500s, quotes, has a sefer called Beis Elokim, a basic sefer on Amun and Hashkofa that's quoted by all of the later Bali Machshava. So in his sefer Beis Elokim, he quotes different opinions from the Medrash. So one opinion is that all Aseres Adibis appeared on this stone, and all Aseres Adibis appeared on that stone. The stones were square shaped, and each one had four sides, and the whole Aseres Adibis appeared here, 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 four times on each stone. So everyone could look, he's holding the two stones like this, and everyone could look from every different direction, and we'll see all the Aseres Adibis. The way in our shul, the way they have on the parochas all the time, we have it, the parochas manufacturers have adapted the other opinion in the Medrash that it was 5 and 5. So the Mabit has Akasha. It doesn't make sense, 5 and 5. There's so many more words in the first 5 of the Aseres Adibis than the second 5. So it's going to be lopsided. If you look in, sometimes, if you have a parochas, just has the first word, Anochi, in Lo Yia. So you can't tell the difference. But some in some shuls, they have the whole text of the Aseres Adibis. So you stand with your mouth open. Empty spaces on the second one. How come? Why didn't they divide it equally? So the Mabit has a famous suggestion. He says that generally speaking, the last 5 are Ben Adam Lachaber and the first 5 are Ben Adam Lamokim. Ben Adam Lachaber need more chizuk than the Ben Adam Lamokim. Ben Adam Lamokim, you know, that's what religion is all about. Ben Adam Lamokim. But the Loisignoi and Loisachmoi and Loisirtsoch, that needs a little more chizuk. So that's why the Rabban Shalom made those in very big letters, so the people would catch their eye first. That's a smaller letter because he has to fit in so many letters, so many words into the first of the luchos, and the second luach had so few letters in it. So everything was in kiddush levana, it's gigantic letters. So it will be bold. So everybody will see that there's emphasis over there. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash later on Kisisa quotes from the Midrashim that the Luchais served as the Kesef Kiddushin to make the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. The whole Shir HaShirim describes the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael as one of a marriage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the Chosen, and Bnei Yisrael are like the Kala. So the Medrash that Rashi quotes on Kisisa assumes that the... Why was it necessary to have Luchos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros. So why do we have to have it? Because we're going to forget what it says. So we have it in the Sefer Torah. Why was it necessary to have the Luchos HaBris, the Luchos HaEdos? The Rashi quotes, that served as the Kesef Kiddush. And Rashi goes further. Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't deliver the Luchos Rishonos, he smashed them. So since they were never delivered, so the Kiddushim never got off the ground. So Bnei Yisrael who worshipped the Eagle at that time would not be punished. They'll be punished like a Ben Noach Shavar Avodah Zarah. But they won't be punished like a Ben Yisrael Shavar Avodah Zarah. They won't have the more severe punishment. Because the giving of the delivering of the luchos was the actual performance of the Kesef Kiddushin, and Kol Zman they weren't delivered yet, so the Kiddushin wasn't chal. So they weren't yet in the pechina of Bnei Shishish. They were like Bnei Noach who worship Avodah Zarah, who deserve a punishment. The one at the end of Makis quotes the famous comment of Reb Simloi that we have so much literature on. Reb Simloi says that there are 613 mitzvahs. How does he figure this out? Because the Pasuk says in Hazino, Torah Tzivolana Moshe Maroshi Kilos Yankiv, and the word Torah is a gematria. Tovav Reishe is a gematria of 611. And the Noche V'le'yelucham in Piyad Vura Shemayim. So that's 611 plus 2 adds up to 613, and that's how we know that there are 613 mitzvahs. What does that mean? Anoichi v'lo'yeh l'chamim piyat v'ro shemayinam, and the rest of the Aseres HaDibros we did not hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a big problem. There are psukim and chumash that sound beferish, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed all Aseres HaDibros to all of them. There are contradictory psukim. There are psukim that say HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Aseres HaDibros to Bnei Yisrael. Everybody heard. This is what I was reading on the plane. This topic. And this, did we hear the Aseres HaDibros or did we not hear the Aseres HaDibros? So this is what one of the Talmidim wrote a whole essay about this. So there are many psukim in the Chumash that say HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Aseres HaDibros to Bnei Yisrael. Then there are other psukim that say Moshe Yidaber V'Holekim Yanein V'Kol. Moshe was saying the Aseres HaDibros and Baruch Hu was giving him the koyach to speak loud. V'Holekim Yanein V'Advar HaKol. So who said the Aseres HaDibros? Did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? So the Chazal, this Reb Simloi, split it up. He says, Anoch v'li yilucham epi agvura shemayinam. The Rebbeinu Shalom said it directly. And the rest of the eight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael. We didn't hear the other eight. So that's apparently a way to farem for the steerus HaPsukim, but it's still problematic because Psukim sound like we heard everything. That's the problem. The Pesukim sound like we heard everything.
He opened his mouth.
Well, Kibi Anenu Bekal, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me ability to speak very loud. Shechina Medaberes Mitok Rana, that was the whole Aboim Shono. Yeah, the whole Aboim Shono, when Moshe Rabbeinu would deliver the all the dinim, that was the whole time that was... Shechina Medaberes Mitok Rana.
Not here,
Anenu Bekal. Here also. So some psukim seem like they say explicitly, Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking directly to Bnei Yisrael. And other psukim say that... That Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael the Aseres HaDibros. So Reb Simloi claims that this is the compromise, the first two, as opposed to the last eight. In the Medrash and Shir HaShirim that this young fellow quotes, this is a machlekes Reb Shur Ben Levi and a Chachamim. Reb Shur Ben Levi makes this compromise between the first two and the last eight, and the other Chachamim disagree. So he says that it's you look in Rav Sadi Goen, which I didn't do on the plane. You look in Rav Sadi Goen's commentary ala Torah, and you look in Rav Yudah Levi in the Kuzari, neither of them distinguishes between the first two and the last eight. So he says, Tamua, how can they disagree with the Gemara? So he says, apparently they felt they wanted to adopt the other opinion in the Medrash, the two opinions in the Medrash. This Reb Simloi is so famous about the 613 mitzvahs in Torah, the Gematria 611, and Anoch V'li Yelucha, And the other two said, this is so famous that that's why when one reads Rabbi Yehuda Halevi or you read Rabbi Sadi Gaon, you wonder, how are they choylik on the Gemara? So he says, look, in the Medrash, there are two opinions. So they adapted the other opinion. How does Rabbi Sadi Gaon resolve the stira, though? The Pesukim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael, the other Pesukim say, Bnei Yisrael heard everything from the Rabbanu Shalom. So Rabbi Sadi Gaon claims, the Rabbanu Shalom said the dinim out loud to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said it so loud, he didn't whisper it. He said it so loud that everybody heard it. But it wasn't meant for Bnei Yisrael. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said it over to Bnei Yisrael. So what was that all about? If he's saying it so loud that everybody... Babu Yishma Ha'am B'Dabri Yimach. That's how it says in today's Seder. Babu Yishma Ha'am B'Dabri Yimach. Bnei Yisrael should hear, when I'm not going to whisper it to you, I'm going to give a booming voice. I'm going to give you the Aseres HaDibur, so they should all hear when I'm telling you the Aseres HaDibur. So why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to say it over afterwards? So Rav Sadia Gaon gives two reasons. Interesting. But the both reasons are missing from the manuscript. The manuscript that Rav Sadia Gaon conks out over there. It's missing. But the next paragraph is there. So he says, Chaval al diab. We don't have either of the reasons. So that's how Rav Sadia Gaon resolves the issue. Rashi in his Pirush al HaTorah, Rashi in his Pirush, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says that Rabbanu Shalom said everything to Bnei Yisrael. Why did Pesukim say that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved? He ignores that. Rashi in his Pirush al HaTorah explains. Usually people, if you mab a Sedra quickly, so you don't notice it. Rav Velbel of Soloveitchik in the Sefer HaChumash points out this Rashi, and he explains what Rashi said. The original plan was changed. The original plan was tell Bnei Yisrael that another 3 days they should be present at Har Sinai, and I'm going to tell you, Babu Yishmoham V'Dabri Imoch, I'm going to tell you the Aseres HaDibros, and they will overhear. And then, Vayoshem Moshe Zdiri Ha'om El Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu gave back the message from Bnei Yisrael to Hashem, and it doesn't say what the message was. Vayagave Moshe Zdiri Ha'om El Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu gave back, gave the Rabbanu Shalom a report. What was the report? We don't know what it is. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Ritzoneinu liris es malkeinu. We don't want to, Eina daima shamea mipi ha-shalich v'shamea mipi ha-melech. We don't want you to tell Moshe Rabbeinu he should tell us the dinim. We want you to tell us the Mamre HaSinai directly. Rabbanu Shalom said, okay, im kein, if that's what they want, shemaskikim ledabri imam, lechalom. If they want me to give the Tzivay Hashem directly to them, then they have to go to the mikveh. If I would give the Rabbanu Shalom says like this, if I would give the Aseres HaDibros to Moshe Rabbeinu, they'll be overhearing, they'll be listening on the side, but the Dibur is not going to be to them, then they don't have to all make preparations by going to the mikveh. Only Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be mekabel the nevuah. But if they want me to change my plan, which the Rabbanu Shalom did, because they so requested, they want me to give the Tzivay Hashem directly to them, then everybody has to have achanas and go to the mikveh. This is how Rabbeinu was salvation. Karefes, this stiras ha-psukim. Was the Aseres HaDibros proclaimed to Moshe Rabbeinu? Was it proclaimed to Bnei Yisrael? So the original plan was that it was going to be proclaimed to Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of Bnei Yisrael. And the plan was switched. That's what Rashi quotes from the Mechilta. The plan was switched. But still, the Chazal do say something about the difference. The Reb Simloi and Reb Shulman Levi do say something about the difference between the first two and the last eight. I think the Rakeach has a comment. Rakeach has a running commentary on the Siddur. So he comments about in the Kaddish we have 10 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You start off, he's Gadel Yiskadesh, and then you say he's Barach Yishtabach Yisbar Yisram, and then I say another 8. So why is it that you have the first two in Hebrew and the others are in Aramaic? And why is it that they're separated from each other? Gadel Yiskadesh in the beginning and then the Olio. All the others, there's a Hafsok a few lines later. So he says the 10 praises somehow have something to do with the Aseres HaDibros, and there was a difference between the first two and the last eight. The first two were Mipi Agvura Shmainam, so they're more important than the last eight. And the first two are in Hebrew. The first two praises, Yizgadel, Yizgadish, and Hebrew, they're different in Hagen. So we say Yizgadal, Yizgadash, which is Aramaic, or you say Yizgadel, Yizgadish, which is Hebrew. So I think the Rakech is assuming. Does the Mishnah Berurah quote that Rakech? Someone in Shulchan Aruch quotes it. I didn't. I have Rakech at home on the Chumash on Siddur, but I didn't read that far. So I think someone in Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rakech. that maybe the Prima Donna quote. So he says that this represents the difference between the first two and the last day. Where did the Chazal get this idea from, the difference between the first two and the last day? They had a tradition like that. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash says that they got it from the Loshon HaPsukim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. He's talking. And then from the third deep run, it switched. Lo sisa Hashem Hashem alkech lashov. Doesn't say lo sisa shmi lashov. Ki lo inake Hashem. Doesn't say ki lo anake. So that's what the Ramban points out. That you can see from the text of the Pesuk, the Ramban and the Rambam. The Rambam also in the Mor and the Ruchim points out. That's what this fellow quotes. The Ramban and Chumash and the Rambam and the Mor and the Ruchim both point out. Chazal got it from the lashon of the Pesuk itself. Abarbanel, in his Kamtar Chumash, is very unhappy about this. He says that in the second of the Aseres HaDibrois, there are four mitzvahs. The four mitzvahs lo yisesek. Lo yeluch aleihim echerim al panei. You're not allowed to think in your mind. Lo sal al daitcho. You're not allowed to think in your mind that there's more than one invisible God. Then there's a second love. Lo sas aluch al tas aluch al tumuna. You're not allowed to manufacture a dovish al avodah zarah. Then there's a third love, lois hashtach v'lahem. If there is some religion, you're not allowed to bow down. Then lois sobdim is a fourth love. So there are four lavim. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah count it as four lavim. So how can Reb Sim Loi say that 30 Tzivu Lo Anamash is 611? You add up, Anochi Yilucho is another two. Anochi Yilucho is five. Yilucho, the second of the Dibris, is five. So the Abar Ben El says, Be'echreach, you have to say, that Anochi v'Yilucho v'Yagur Shemayim doesn't go on the whole second Dibur. Doesn't go on the whole second Dibur, goes on the first line. Lo yaloch alahim acherim al panai. That's all. And then starting from the next pasuk, lo asas lo chafesel, that was not the piyag vura. The Chazal had a tradition, the first pasuk anochi, and the next pasuk lo yelocha was mi piyag vura. And the next pasuk, lo asas lo chafesel, even though it says, ki anochi Hashem alakecho, lusonoi, lo yohavai, even though it's written the way the Ramban and the Rambam point out, it's written as if God is speaking. No, that's Moshe Rabbeinu is delivering over the message from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Bar Ben El Tanya is that it's not the Chazal got it from the text of the Pesukim itself. He claims it's not correct. They didn't get it from the Pesukim. So where did they get this idea from? Had such a tradition. And the Chachamim and the Medrash Yerushim Rabbi didn't have such a tradition. Yeshua Malev and Epsom Boy had such a tradition. And the others didn't have such a tradition. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs counts as the very first mitzvah essay in the Ramach mitzvah essay. He says there are 365 lois essay and 248 mitzvah essay. So he lists off as the first mitzvah. And the mitzvah essay is Anochi Hashem Lekecha, to believe in God. And he says he doesn't understand the halachas gedolos, gives a listing of the mitzvahs, and he leaves out this mitzvah Anochi Hashem Lekecha. How can he leave out such an important mitzvah? Maybe he thinks that it, for some reason or another, shouldn't count as a mitzvah. So he says against the Gemara. The Gemara says Teretz Yivlan Moshe, the 611 mitzvahs. Teretz Yivlan is 611, and Anochi Leilucho is 612 and 613. So you see that Anochi is one, and Leilucho is another one. That's the Taina of the Rambam. You see from the Gemara that Anochi Hashem Elokecha counts as a mitzvah saseh. The Ramban happens to agree with the Rambam. He says in the Sefer HaMitzvah, he agrees with the Rambam that Anochi Hashem Elokecha should count as a mitzvah. But he says he can't make fun of the Bahag. We understand very well why the Bahag doesn't think that it makes sense to count Anochi Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah if you don't believe in God. So there's nothing to talk about. So there are no mitzvahs. That's the assumption. That's the premise of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Then once you know that there's a mitzvah, now we're going to roll up our sleeves and get down to business and start telling you what the tzivuyim are, what the mitzvahs are. And the Ramban quotes a medrash like that. That B'nai Yisrael, he quotes a medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it's a mashal lemelech shebo lemedina, and the people asked the melech, oh, give us some laws, give us a legal system. We don't have anybody intelligent enough to give us a legal system. So the melech says, first you have to be mekabel mi as your melech. If you're not mekabel mi, first you have to make an official coronation. And after you make an official coronation, then it'll make sense that I should give you laws. What am I going to give you laws? You never accepted me as your king. So first they make a coronation, and then he gives laws, and the people will observe the laws. So first, the Bahag thinks First, you have to have Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the preamble. Then Le'ilacha is the first din that you have. If you can't say Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah says it to believe in God. Who's commanding you to believe in God? If you don't believe in Him, so there is no God. So the Ramban writes, he understands the halachas gedolos, why he doesn't want to count Anochi as a mitzvah. But he personally agrees with the Rambam. So Tatasa, how does it? So why does he agree with the Rambam? If he explains the Bahag very well, so how do they understand this mitzvah says Anochi Hashem Elokecha? So it's not really a mitzvah to believe in God. You can't have a mitzvah to believe in God. So it's interesting when the Rambam writes the mitzvah in the beginning of Hilchas Yisrei Atar, he says mitzvah says leida sheyesham barimah. He doesn't say mitzvah says lahamin. That's what a lot of the Mefarshim point at, that in the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Lashon in the Sefer HaMitzvah is mitzvah says lahamin. And in the Yarech HaZaka, which the Rambam wrote in Hebrew, the Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic and translated into Hebrew. So in the translation, they wrote mitzvah says lahamin. But in the Mishnah Torah, which the Rambam wrote originally in Hebrew, so he writes mitzvah says leida sheyesham barimah. Da es alakei avicha. What does that mean, leida? And then some point out, I think Rav Kappa points out in his edition, he wrote a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRambam from the Arabic. And he and others point out that the Arabic word that the Rambam used there doesn't necessarily mean LaHaAmin, it could also mean Leida. So it's not necessarily a contradiction. So what does it mean? Mitzvah says Leida Sheyesham Bori Mani. What does it mean? So it doesn't mean it's a mitzvah to believe. If you don't believe, you don't believe. No. This is on the assumption that people believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then there's a mitzvah never to be misiach das from this piece of information. Let's say, I used to know my social security number, but now I forgot it. So sometimes, there were years I didn't remember my home phone number, because I never call my phone number. I call other people on the phone. I don't call my own phone number. Years ago, there was such a movie about a guy, I have a givus of the Yankus on this, there was a movie about a guy who was it was probably before anybody here was born, this movie. The guy was a genius. He knew everything in the encyclopedia. So he was on these shows that you keep on winning if you know all the answers. They kept on asking him questions. He knew everything about science and literature. He knew everything. They didn't know. They kept on, every week, he keeps on getting more money. How get rid of him? How do you ask him a question that he won't know? So somehow they figured out, they're going to ask him, what's your social security number? He didn't know. He only knew what was in the encyclopedia. He didn't know what his social security number was. That's not an encyclopedia. So they stumped him. So there are a lot of things that people, the pieces of information, that's in the back of your mind. If you have to figure it out, so you think for a couple of minutes, and you remember, oh yeah, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. So the belief in the existence of Hashem, it's not that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah to believe in God. If one believes in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he should always be conscious of this piece of information. He should never be misiach das from it. That's what it means. Mitzvah says it leida. Leida means always to be conscious of that piece of information. That's what the Bala Tanya writes. In the Tanya, he explains das alakei avicha. The pasuk, who says das alakei avicha? Dovah Mel tells it to Shlomo Melech, I think. Das alakei avicha, I think so. So he says the pasuk, Balatani quotes the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, says, "Vayeda ha'odam eschave ishtoi, v'tahar v'teli bein, v'tikra shmo kain, ki kanisi yitzah es elokim." What does it mean? Vayeda ha'odam eschave ishtoi. What kind of a lotion? Vayeda. It means they were together, v'yischaber. Yediyah, das, is a lotion of yischabers. The Balatani starts off his book, he talks about what's chokhmah, what's bina, what's das. That's why his followers are called chabadnikis. Okay. So what does das mean? So das means when a person has a piece of information, not in the back of his head, in the subconscious. No, when he's very conscious of that. Das means there's such a hischabrus, there's such a connection between this piece of information and the person that is never misiach das from this. And that's the meaning of the pasuk das elokei avicha. You should always be ever aware of the presence of the existence of God. Shouldn't be like your social security number. Or some other piece of insignificant information. You should always be aware of that. You should always lead your life, act in your life accordingly. So that's apparently what the Rambam and the Ramban understood. And the Ramban explains the Bahag felt that it doesn't make sense to count it as a mitzvah. The mitzvah is not so much not to memsef. The mitzvah is to have a munah. So the idea is to have a munah. So how can you say to have a munah is a mitzvah? You can't be mitzvah a person to have a munah. If he doesn't believe, We're not speaking to him. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, the Ibn Ezra in his commentary on Chumash points out, Rabbi Yehuda Levi and the Kuzari both point this out, there is some questionable historical tradition that maybe Ibn Ezra was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda Levi. No one is sure. But he doesn't mention it. He mentions the question of Rabbi Yehuda Levi, doesn't say that it was his father-in-law. Why does it say in the Pasuk, such a little thing. So the answer is that they didn't experience Briya Shemayim V'Aretz. They weren't there. They didn't see it. In Tzias Mitzrayim, they just experienced it. Tzias Mitzrayim, watching all of the Osis and Mopsim and seeing the way there's some power that's overturning nature, convinced all of the Bnei Yisrael, all of our ancestors, all of our forefathers, our grandparents, that there is a God who created the world. If he didn't create the world, how does he have shlita over teva? And he's in full control of everything. He knows what people are doing, he knows what people are thinking, and he's unhappy about the fact that they're doing wrong, and he intervenes in the history of the world, and he changes the course of nature in order to guide the development of history the way he wants it. So all of this was experienced by the Bnei Yisrael. That's why it's better to say, Anecha Shamakecha Sherot Yisichem Yeretz Mitzrayim Beis Avarim, because they witness all of this. It's a declaration, but the people didn't experience it. That's what one of the suggestions that's made by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik to answer the problem in the Rambam, why the Rambam only counts the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil Pesach in the Minyan Mitzvahs, as opposed to the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day of the year. Mishnah is saying brachas that there's a mitzvah of zechiras yitzis mitzrayim every day, and one time holds every day and every night. There's a mitzvah. The man tizkor sim tzeischem yerim sain koyim echa yechav. So leman tizkor, they understood leman tazkir. You should mention yitzis mitzrayim koyim echa yechav. Mecha yecha hayamim koyim echa yecha halilos machlek zatanai. With the darshan callers the rabbis halilos or callers the rabbis limos hamashiach machlek zatanai. So the Rambam doesn't mention that mitzvah. He doesn't count that mitzvah. So that's the tzlach and brachas. There's the kashin and harfino talks about. So the simplest answer, the most poshut answer is that the Rambam himself gives you the klal and the sefer mitzvahs. You only count as one of the 613 mitzvahs a mitzvah that appears lefi pshuto shel mikra. That's mamish Torah shebichsav. But if it's only based on a drasha of the Torah shebaal peh, not the pshuto shel mikra, so it doesn't belong in the listing of the tarjag mitzvahs. Because another bezin may come in a later generation and reinterpret the pasuk. They may not accept this additional level of interpretation. It's not necessarily halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's not from the pirushim ha'mekubalim l'moshe m'sinai. That's the pshat. So the pasuk says you should bring a korban pesach l'man tizkor tzeischem yerim sain koyim echa yechav, in order to remember for the rest of your life. This is a drasha that l'man tazkir. You should bring a korban pesach. The pasuk says you should bring a korban pesach and eat matzah mor. Leman Tiskar. the reason why the Ram doesn't count it, that's what the Menachas Chinuch quotes from the Slacha, Brochus. The reason why the Ram doesn't count it, because it's not Pshuto Shomikru. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over two additional terutzim. Two terutzim in the name of Rav Chaim. So one teretz is that it's the very popular teretz that others heard of, and the other teretz that somehow the other members of the Soloveitchik family forgot about that, and only Rav Soloveitchik from our part of the world remembered that part. The popular teretz that everybody says is the name of Rav Chaim, that there was a machlekes hatanoim had he darshim kol. The man is concerned. Kol yimecha yecha is halelois, goes on laila, but the most amashich the mitzvah will not apply. Oh no, kol yimecha yecha is only hayamim v'lo halelos. You don't have to say the third parsha of Shema at night time. And the word kol is l'rabba l'havili most amashich. The most amashich the din will still apply. So if you should assume that the din only applies boilam azeh, doesn't apply the most amashiach, then it comes out that it's only a hayruashah for a couple of thousand years. It's only a Rosh Hashanah for a couple of thousand years. It's not a din hanah. It's not a mitzvah hanah. Hegdus l'daris. And the Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Kololim and the Sharashim that if it's not a mitzvah hanah hegdus l'daris, then it doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So that's the famous sense of the name Rav Chaim. Then, in addition to that, Rav Soloveitchik. reason why the Ram doesn't count it, that's what the Menachas Chena quotes from the Slacha, Brochus. The reason why the Ram doesn't count it, because not Pshuto Shomikru. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over two additional terutzim. Two terutzim in the name of Rav Chaim. So one terutz is that's the very popular terutz that others heard of, and the other terutz that somehow the other members of the Soloveitchik family forgot about that, and only Rav Soloveitchik from our part of the world remembered that part. The popular terutz that everybody says is the name of Rav Chaim, that there was a machlekes hatanoim had he darshin kol. The mantis is concerned kol yimecha yecha is halelois goes on laila, but the most amashiach the mitzvah will not apply. Oh no, kol yimecha yecha is only hayamim v'lo halelos. You don't have to say the third parsh of Shema at night time. And the word kol is l'rabba l'havili most amashiach. The most amashiach the din will still apply. So if you should assume that the din only applies boilam hazeh, doesn't apply the most amashiach, then it comes out that it's only a hayru ashur for a couple of thousand years. It's only a Rasha for a couple of thousand years. It's not a din hanah. It's not a mitzvah hanah hagis l'daris. And the Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Klolim and the Sharashim that if it's not a mitzvah hanah hagis l'daris, then it doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So that's the famous sense of the name Rav Chaim. Then, in addition to that, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, and he printed, there's another suggestion that maybe Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not really a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Why do we say the third parsha of Shema together with the first two parshas? Let's say in the end of the after all the Yani Mamin, so they have the Sheish Zechiris printed in the Siddur. So you should remember Zechat Kihu Anos Alach Koach Lasis Choy. You should remember a lot of things. Okay, so why, if there's an Indian of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are other Zechiris as well. Why did we decide to put Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in the middle with the two parshas of Shema? Put it after the davening with the other Zechiras. That's where it is. It's one of the Sheish Zechiras. It's Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why do we put it in the middle by the Kriya Shema? That's Rav Chaim. That's what the Baal HaTanya talks about. So there must be some connection. There must be a connection between the third parsha of Shema with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, B'shem Rav Chaim, that the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is just to enhance the mitzvah of Shema. The mitzvah of Shema is to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. We should be mekabel Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. And how do you know that it's true? By mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. As it says in the opening pasuk, Anoch Hashem lakecho shehotzeisicha mi'eretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avadim, our grandparents experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim. And at that occasion, it became clear to them and obvious to them that all the Yud Gimel Yikori HaMunah were correct. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anoch Hashem HaKeach Yisot V'Tiron Ha'aretz. The mitzvah of Amunah, in Ikori Amunah, you experienced it. You know that it's so. You know that there's Char V'Yonish. You know that there's Hashgacha Pratis. You know that there's Yediyah, that I know everything. You know that I created the world. Otherwise, how could I have Shlita over the Teva? You know all the Ikori Amunah are true. And I'm guiding things in the right direction is going to lead to the end result that I want. And so on. All the Yud Gimel Ikori Amunah. So similar to the pshat in the opening pasuk in the Aseres HaDibur, is perhaps that's the pshat in the mitzvah. That's the whole nature of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't really exist as an independent mitzvah. It doesn't belong in the minyan of mitzvahs as an independent mitzvah. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim about Pesach, a separate mitzvah to tell over the nisim and the flaws. But Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day is really just an enhancement of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Because mitzvah of Kriya Shema, that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah points out. Ambrachas, Rabbi Yoni says there was a machlekes in the Gemara where the Kriya Shema deraisa, Kriya Shema lav deraisa. What does it mean? It says you should recite Shach b'chob kumecho. How can you say Kriya Shema lav deraisa? It says every day in the morning, and when you wake up in the morning, we go to sleep at night. You have to say something. So how can it be a machlekes where the Kriya Shema deraisa lav deraisa? Rabbi Yoni, quoted by the Shagas Aryeh. See, there are different Rabbi Yonis. Same person, same opinion, but there are different paragraphs that he has. Some are much more famous than the others. Those that were quoted by the Shagas Aryeh are much more famous than those who were not quoted by the Shagas Aryeh. So this one was quoted by the Shagas Aryeh. Has a whole essay about this. Rabbi Yoni says everybody agrees Kriya Shema is deraisa, but the machlokes is in order to fulfill the mitzvah of b'shach b'chol kumecha, you have to read dafke this parsha. My favorite parsha is Noach. I like to read about the Mabul. My favorite parsha is Lech Lecha. I'm a big Zionist. I want to read Lech Lecha. Whatever, everybody has their own Zayis HaBracha, everybody has their own Bar Mitzvah parsha, whatever you want to say. So one time is of the Kriya Shema Lav Deraisa, the fact that you have to say this parsha that's only with the Rabban. And Atari can say any parsha. The mitzvah is Talmud Torah. Recite a parsha in the morning and the evening, B'shach B'chol Kamecha. We paskin. The Rama paskin, Taisis does not. Taisis paskins Kriyashma. I love Deraisa. But the Rama paskins Kriyashma Deraisa. The fact that you have to recite this parsha is Deraisa. So what's this insistence on reciting this parsha? Because the mitzvah B'shach B'chol Kamecha, the mitzvah Kriyashma, is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Learn whatever you want and enjoy it. Have a good time. Learn Ksuvos. No. Mitzvah is to be mekabel lo malchus shamayim. Kriyashma is the rice means this parsha. To be mekabel lo malchus shamayim. So to enhance the kabbalos on malchus shamayim, it makes sense to put the third parsha of Kriyashma, the Hainu Zechiris and Tzias Mitzrayim, together, because Zechiris and Tzias Mitzrayim is never intended to serve as an independent mitzvah. It's just to be mechazik, the kabbalos on malchus shamayim, because we all experienced all of the Ikari Hamuna at the time of Tzias Mitzrayim. Anoch Hashem Akecha, Shevetzei Sichem Yeretz Mitzrayim, Yibdei Saladim. What are these prohibitions that we have? You're not allowed to think in your mind that there's another God. You're not allowed to manufacture an Avodah Zarah, even if you don't plan to worship it. Others are going to worship this. Still, you're not permitted to manufacture any Avodah Zarah. And then the last two, in the Yilucha, there are four lavin. That's how the Abar Ben-El points out. The Ramban also points that out. Ramban, the Sefer HaMitzvah points out. Yilucha, there are really four. Ramban pointed, the Ramban before the Abar Ben-El, way before the Abar Ben-El, already pointed out this problem. How do you get 6, 11 plus 2? There are four in Le'ilucha alone. And the last two of the four are Lo'isa Shtach V'lehem V'lo'isa Avdim. What are these two different things? Lo'isa Shtach V'lehem V'lo'isa Avdim. So the Gemara, Masecha Sanhedrin, Mishnais and Sanhedrin, and Av Samach on Beis, the Mishnah points out that whoever worships Avodah Zarah is Chayv Nisa, Sukkim Mechumish. There are different oifanim. If a person worships Avodah Zarah Kedarka, whatever the Avodah Zarah is, he'll be Chayv Nisa. Let's say, Per Atzma, Per Zarah Kevin, Markubis. Even if it's such a bizarre form of worship that you're Mevazah the Avodah Zarah, but that's the way all of the Ovdim of that religion do. So even Per Atzma, Per Zarah Kevin, Markubis is Chayv Nisa. What if he does an Avodah Shaloi Kedarka, he's Zarah Kevin to a church? But that's not Avodah Zarah. He's doing the shame of it. That's not the way the chassidim of that church. They don't throw a stone. So it's going to be parats mala makulis, but they don't do that. So then it's not going to be chayiv nisa. But the Mishnah says if he does zibuch kito nisa chishtachva, one of those four avodas, even though shaloi kedarko, he'll do it to any avodah zarah, he'll be chayiv nisa. So the Gemara breaks it down to two parts: zibuch kito nisa, zibuch means shechting. Kito means to burn a carbon, haktara. And nisach is to pour wine, or anything that you pour zibuch, kitu nisach, are avodas pnim. These are avodas that are done inside the azorah. So if you do it, l'avodah zarah, these are avodas that are done in the azorah. So if you do these zibuch, kitu nisach, l'avodah zarah, then you chayv nisach, based on psukim. Ishtachvoya is not an avodah. So the Gemara needs an additional pasuk that even if you do ishtachvoya to any avodah zarah, even though shaloi kedarka, the followers of that avodah zarah never bow down to that avodah zarah. So you do ishtachva, you also chayv. Although it's not an avodas pnim, but it's a kiyum bifnim. There is a kiyum, the hishtachavisa lefnei Hashem Akecha. There's a special kiyum ha-mitzvah to be mishtachva in the Azor as opposed to outside of the Azor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin derived from Sukkim, that yechayv nisan avodizor kidarka, and shalor kidayka yechayv an zibuch kit and nisach, that's avodas pnim, and ishtachva is a kiyum pnim. So that's why over here you have these two lavim, lo ishtachva lehem is ishtachva. The loss of them is avoidus. It goes on an avoidus kidarka, even if it's derech bizoyim, pirat from the par, or it goes on zibuach kitonisach. If you do the gimel avoidus panim, avoidus zara, one will be chayiv misa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself as a kel kano, as a jealous god. Like you have sometimes a couple is married. The one is very jealous of the spouse. He doesn't want his wife to talk to anybody else, or the wife doesn't want her husband to talk to anybody else, to another woman, or the husband doesn't want his wife to talk to another man. He doesn't want his wife to talk to another woman. I'm sugar. That's not a jealous crackpot. But a jealous means that he's a jealous lover. So he doesn't want. So God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to display any interest whatsoever in any other desires. He doesn't want us to take a course in comparative religions. Even if we're interested, whatever, to bring out the truth of Judaism. He doesn't want that. We shouldn't display any interest at all in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara has Arichas in about that. That's the mashmas of the, that's what the term Kel Kana means, and that's why you have dinim like that. One is not permitted to display any interest at all. Loisisa Shem Shamakach al Ashov is the prohibition against taking a Shvua Shov. What's a Shvua Shov? So there are different kinds of Shvua Shov. A person swears that it is daytime now and the sun is shining. Everybody knows daytime, the sun is shining. That's a Shvua Shov. A person swears that it's nighttime now. You know, it's not nighttime. That's also a Shvua Shov. A person swears that it's snowing outside. You look out the window, it's not snowing. Everybody knows it's not true. Person, if it's a davar yadua l'rabim, that it is true, that it's not true, that's a shvua shov. Those shvuah is irrelevant. Everybody knows this fact that it is true, it's not true, that's a shvua shov. The Gemara has another shvua shov. A person takes a nishba l'batla samitzum. He swears he's not going to lake tfilm tomorrow morning. He's mechuyev to lake tfilm. So that's a shvua shov. Nishba l'batla samitzum. Or another case of shvua shov, a person takes a shvua. This is already a discussion in Tesla. A person takes a shvua she'i afshe l'kaima. He takes a shvua, he's not going to eat or drink for the next 3 weeks. He's going to drop dead. How can he not? He takes a shvua, he's not going to sleep for the next week. That's physically impossible. He's not going to sleep for a week. He's going to fall asleep. It's impossible. So shvua she'ef shel kaima, many rishonim hold. The Gemara says if you take a shvua that I will not sleep for a whole week, so you give him malchus right away. So Tesis has one day that the reason why he gets malchus is because that's a shvua shov. The other day in Tesis that it's a shvua sheker, it's not a shvua shov. So the first half of the pasuk, Laisisa Hashem Shamakach Lashov, goes on taking a Shvua Shov. But then it says again, Kilei Naka Hashem Eisa Shisa Shmai Lashov. So why does it say again? It should say, Kilei Naka Osa Hashem. Why does it say, Kilei Naka Hashem Eisa Shisa Eshmo Lashov? It's redundant. Very miyuter. The last phrase in the pasuk, so that's what the Gemara Shvu is darshan. Must be that the second time the phrase appears in this pasuk Zayin, that refers on Shvua Sheker. You're not allowed to take a Shvua Sheker. When we look in Targum Unkelis, you see Targum Unkelis must have understood that that comment in the Gemara, usually Menu Inyan, Tenehu Inyan, is a drasha, one of the midas of the Torah Shabbat Peh, how to read in between the lines. The Targum Unkelis is not supposed to give you things in between the lines. Targum Unkelis is only supposed to give you the Pshut Shel Mikrum. So here the Targum obviously understood that this Menu Inyan is the Pshut Shel Mikrum. Because the first time he says loisemi yashmod Hashem alakoch limagona for nothing lashov, then he says it the second time lishakara lishikra. So the Targum understood that this is the pshuto shel mikra. The Gemara has in Tmura the famous comment kiloi nake Hashem I say shisha shalosha bezin shal mila not menake abu bezin shal mata malken also umenaken also. Whoever takes a shua shov, whoever takes a shua shekeb bezin shal mata our bezin will give malchus, and they will be menake. When Bezin gives malchus, so the person gets a mechila sa'ovoin. Because the pasuk says, "V'nik lachicha le'inecha kimish alaka areu ki achicha." Once the person gets malchus, so he gets a kapara, he's atoned, and then he becomes kosheladus. Until the time that he gets the malchus, he's posheladus, he's a rasha. And after he gets the malchus, he's kosheladus. So the Gemara made a drush on the pasuk that runs as follows. Umar says, despite the fact that we, it's not like Satanite, we pass in a lav shem ma'isa, ain't like him all of. The one who takes a shua sheker, shua shav, is really a lav shem ma'isa. So the din should have been that ain't like him all of. So this pasuk is mashma, ki lo yinaka Hashem, the bezu shal maila will not be menaka. Abu bezu shal mata, malkanos, and menakanos, bezu shal mata will give malkas. That's how we know that this is one of the three exceptions to the rule. Kol lo yses, shem ma'isa, ain't like him all of, chutz, binish, ba'meim, and mekal chaver b'shem. So this is Nishba. This is Nishba. The Ravid, in his commentary on the Rambam, and in his commentary on the Rif, in Shavuos, the Ravid also has Hasogas. The Ravid with the Balamor learned from Chavurah. They both wrote running Hasogas on the Rif, on all the Mesichtas of the Rif. And the Ravid is quoted by the Shittim Kopetzes in the end of Bava Metzia, towards the end of Bava Metzia. So the Ravid writes in a few places that this Malkus that the Gemara says, Hanishba, one who takes a shua sheker, shua shav, despite the fact that it should have been considered a lav shem and ma'isa in like malov, nonetheless we learn from this pasuk kilei nak Hashem that the bezin shal mata malkanos and menakanos. So that's only, it's not so much for the aveira of shvua sheker. It's because of the haskaras shem am feirush. So he writes the only time you get malkus, the only time the nishbal shvua sheker gets malkus is if he pronounces the shem am feirush mamish. A big chiddush.
Meaning the
Yud Kei Vav Kei. Oh, that's the question. What is the Shem Amforish?
So Rashi writes on the Gemara, when the Gemara speaks about the Shema, Rashi writes the Shema in base. That's something after we don't even know what it is. That's not the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Rambam and the Mar and the Buchim writes, what are you talking about? Shema in base. There is no word. In the Hebrew language, there is no word that has 72 letters. He says, the Rambam writes that Shema in base is a paragraph that has a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has 72 letters in the whole paragraph. A long description. He says, but that's a kinui. Shema in base is not a higher level of a shame. It's lower than the Zayin Shemus. Rashi holds it in Sanhedrin that it's higher level than Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Rambam says, no, it's like Chana Racham Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, something like that. It's a collection of a lot of words that adds up to 72 letters. So the Rambam holds that the Shema Farish means Yud Kei Vav Kei. Zochas Yom Shabbos Katsha is alluding to the mitzvah of Kiddush. That the Chachamim understood the word Zochor, that it doesn't mean to remember, it means Lahazakir, to mention. The Gemara says that we derive in this passage that Kiddush Alayayin is deraisa. That's a big machlek in Hashem, that's Taka Alayayin. It just says Zochor, which means Lahazakir, to mention. Maybe only Kiddush Bidvarit, like the Rambam writes. Maybe the Alayayin aspect of the Kiddush is only with the Rabbanon, so that's a big machlek. The Mogan Avram Paschal is like the Rambam. That only Kiddush Bidvarim is deraisa, and Alayayin is the Rabbanon. There is a Gemara in the beginning of Nazir, where the Gemara says something about whether a Nazir is permitted to drink the wine of Kiddush. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Is he allowed to drink the Yain Kiddush Rav Dor? So the Gemara says something about it. The question is, what does it say? So the old Girsas Hagoinim was that the Nazir is permitted to drink Yain Kiddush Rav Dor, Benichusa. Rabbi Natam says that's utterly ridiculous, that can't be. So either you have to change the Girsa, or you have to read the Gemara B'tmiyo. You have to read Gemara. Is it possible? The same years, is it possible? It's impossible. Can't be. So the question, why is it so bad? So that's what the Balei HaTosfos discussed. Maybe the whole Kiddush Alayayin is only the Rabbanon. On the level of the Rishonim, there's no such thing as Yain Kiddush Rav Dor. You don't need Alayayin. HaTosfos says, even if you do need Alayayin, maybe HaMavarach Tzor Sheyitim is only the Rabbanon. That's an interesting suggestion that HaTosfos makes. That there's a concept of Broch al Akos, the Araisa, saying Kiddush al Ayayin, and not drinking the wine. You just say the Kiddush and put down the cup. When you finish saying Kiddush, put away the wine. You don't have to drink it. But we pass him like the Rambam. Again, Avram says, we pass him like the Rambam, that Kiddush B'dvarim is the Araisa, and al Ayayin is only the Rabbanon. But with the Rabbanon, you have to have not only al Ayayin, you have to have Kiddush B'makom Sudah. If you say Kiddush al Makom Sudah, the Gemara says, you got to repeat again the Kiddush. You're not Yotze yet. You got to repeat again the Kiddush. The Chasam Sofer writes in his Tshuva that when you say